You are listening to From the Margins on CHSR 97.9.
Aggressive state intervention into the local labor movement that ensures that the radical labor movements are marginal.
What they're looking for now is less to get elected and more to come to the favorable attention of capital.
For the first time in history, we have a movement in this country led by indigenous peoples and most importantly, indigenous women.
Repeatedly we've seen the attempt to criminalize black victims, to do anything to smear their names, to basically imply that black life isn't worth anything.
Our society teaches women to be ashamed of their bodies, to hate their bodies, to change their bodies.
We see increasing organized repression.
I'm stubborn. I'm not going to back down. This could go on for years and years and years.
People need to realize what type of struggle that they're on.
The police, of course, are going to need to believe that there's some kind of criminal reason behind this.
Take every day as an act of resistance, whether it was a strike, a riot, or whatever.
It's very difficult for people to engage in sustained dissent. I don't believe it's impossible, though.
All right, so we got a bonus episode of From the Margins coming up here. I hadn't planned on doing any episodes this summer, but I got a special message to deliver from federal inmate John Chafe, who is currently residing in Gravenhurst, Ontario, in a federal institution there. Now, a bit of background. People who have been listening to the show for a while may already know all these details, but for those who don't, he's served over 33 years in prison, grand total. He's a lifer. So he served under the harder time under the Harper years, which basically a punishment regime that made prison life tougher than it already was. And now we've got the transition to the new Liberal government, but no changes have really been made. However, there's a review underway, and that's what the message John has for people who are listening is they have a chance to deliver their own message to the one who's doing the review, and I'll let him deliver that message. So let's just get to that, and there'll be more after.
Apparently, a woman by the name of Justine Villeneuve, V-I-L-L-E-N-E-U, Victor Edward, is the policy advisor for corrections policy for the Minister of Public Safety of Canada. And she has been tasked with reviewing CSC. And she is a woman who has no experience with prisons. And she is apparently dependent on and obtaining the majority of her information from CSC, from corrections. So this, of course, is like asking, you know, the wolf how the sheep are doing. So what I would like to do is challenge anyone who listens to your podcast who has any experiences with CSC in terms of trouble with getting access to programs or trying to access ETAs or UTAs or any of the other processes that help people be released in a positive way from prison, or have had trouble with the relationship between CSC and the National Parole Board, or the Parole Board of Canada, any of those issues, particularly around the lack of rehabilitation and the lack of socialization programming available, including the library or access to community sources of information, trying to get a hold of case law or access legal materials, anything to do with hobbycraft programs or schooling, post-secondary education in particular, any issues with mental health side of things in terms of obtaining counseling from psychologists or trained mental health personnel, any of those issues, healthcare as well, trying to access health care, some of the arbitrary decision making being made around access to medications, where we're being cut off in the name of security from accessing particular medications that have been recommended for treatment by the specialists in the community, and that those treatments are available in the community. Any of those issues, anything to do with the operations of CSC, accessing parole officers, trying to put together a meaningful correctional plan, any of those issues, put them down. They can be note form, as simple as possible, you know, try and stay just to the facts, and send them to Justine Villeneuve, the policy advisor for the Minister of Public Safety, and she is at 269 Laurier Avenue West, Ottawa, K1 Apple 0 Papa 8. So K1A0P8 is her mailing address. And send them as quickly as you can, because she's been tasked with reviewing CSC operations for the Liberal government.
Here's some info into the mix from correctional investigator Howard Sapers from his 2014-2015 report. That's the latest one available. As my report this year makes clear, inmates are increasingly bearing more of the costs to keep themselves clothed, fed, housed, and cared for behind bars. Though inmate pay has not increased since its introduction in 1981, broader application of room and board deductions have eroded the possibility of having any meaningful savings to support reintegration or maintain familial obligations on the outside. New administrative fees have been added to offset use of the inmate telephone system. So-called non-essential dental care has been eliminated, as has incentive pay for those employed in the prison industries run by CORCAN, that's the Correctional Corporation of Canada. Other cost-saving measures, such as the closure of prison farms, cutting funding for reintegration and release programs such as Lifeline and Circles of Support and Accountability, or reduced funding for access to psychological services in some communities, serve to effectively undermine reintegration efforts. At best, the savings achieved as a result of these measures are modest, but the implications can be profound in terms of negative impact on correctional progress and access to safe and timely reintegration and support. Meantime, a whole other series of sweeping business transformation decisions, amalgamation or clustering of institutional services, realignment of case management activities, realignment of resources within treatment centers, streamlining of national and regional headquarters, all these effectively translate into doing more with less. Few of these administrative measures are supported by evidence, and most have no demonstrated link to increased public safety. Put simply, cuts to inmate services may actually serve to increase risks to public safety rather than decrease them. The past 5 years have seen an unprecedented number of sentencing and policy reforms. Taken together, these cumulative effects have profoundly changed the discourse and practice of criminal justice in Canada. Amendments to the Corrections and Conditional Release Act now make it clear that the sentence is to be managed according to the, quote, nature and gravity of the offense, end quote, and the, quote, degree of responsibility of the offender, end quote. Public safety, instead of being an outcome of a fair and balanced system, has become the dominant principle, overshadowing all other equally valid purposes such as rehabilitation and safe reintegration. We are beginning to see the impact of these changes on operations. Managing a sentence of imprisonment based on the severity or notoriety of the crime rather than respecting the principles of individuality or proportionality, defies much of what we know about modern risk management. As I suggest in this report, the system has become so risk-averse that even elderly, chronically ill, and geriatric persons who no longer pose any ongoing or dynamic risk to public safety are commonly held to their statutory or warrant expiry dates.
Why get angry at me? Because punishment does not deter the crime. Quick to shoulder resentment that proof exists, punishment only damages the social being, when what they need is to be helped to see and become a personal dignity, to heal the wounds of mistreatment, to teach the tricks of life that they may live fully aware of how to cope with the tests to come, to win their way through while harming no one. Prison should be a place of growth. Oh, of course I knew that your response would be to punish me. After all, aside from token gestures of concern for social well-being, it's all you know how to do. Oh, they love us in the morning, thumping doors and flipping flaps. Oh, they love us in the noon, driving us like sheep into our pens, flipping flaps and peering in, watching us like hawks. Oh, they love us in the daylight, shoving food at us in a prescribed amount over a rather narrow spread of time, training us to eat five times a day, but only feeding us three, to teach want and immediate satisfaction, but withholding the satisfaction at this time. It may, in fact, be for some years, but we have spent all our money on punishment, and regrettably, we do not have the resources for teaching how to live a satisfied life. Maybe when you return to our loving arms, we will have enough money left over from our expenditures on punishment to give you a program and unsatisfy your life. Isn't love grand?
All right, now you just heard a couple of poems from John, and now from one poet to another. No, not me, but L. Jones out in Halifax. I want to give a huge shout out to L. Jones. She's been doing some incredible work out in Halifax, getting the voices of prisoners on air. It's their poetry, it's their commentary, their ideas of what they want to see changed on the inside as well as on the outside. And this kind of work, there's not enough of it going on. What I'm doing, getting John's voice on air, is a small drop in the bucket compared to what Elle's doing, and so much more needs to happen. And she's been trying also to get the issue of the conditions prisoners are facing and humanizing the lives of prisoners. She's been trying to get that some national attention. And here's Elle speaking before the federal election, just trying to get some hype on that issue.
It's not something that people think about a lot. I think people think that jobs are important or healthcare is important, pensions are important. We don't say the prisoners are important because they're not there and we don't have to think about them. But if you come from a black community or an indigenous community or a community of color, that's not just those people over there. That's your brother, that's your cousin, that's your partner. And it's easy to kind of say, well, okay, they're criminals, so they should be there. But what happens when they get out of prison? What happens when they come back into our homes and our families and they've got no treatment and no programming and they have no opportunities?
All right, so there was some brief words from L. Jones. That was a little excerpt from her comments on the national before the federal election. So last thing, here's a prison song. This is Prisoners on the Parchment Farm.
Well, it's early in the morning, early morning. Baby, where I ride, Lordy mama. Well, it's early in the morning, early morning. Baby, where I ride. Well, well, it's early in the morning, in the morning. Baby, where I ride, Lordy baby. You have a lot of heaven, around my right side, well, around my right side, Lord, baby, around my right side, Lord, it's well, I have a mirror around my right side.
And that was Early in the Morning from Prison Songs, historical recordings from Parchment Farm, 1947-1948. The Alan Lomax Collection, sung by 22 Little Red, Tangle Eye, and Hard Hair, accompanied by Double Cutting Axes. And that's it for this abbreviated show. And that might be it for the summer, actually. So, from the margins.h-a-z.org, you might not see anything new on there for a while after this one. But yeah, back in action, full throttle come this September. Also, I'll be posting the address of Justine Villeneuve, as John mentioned. I'll be putting that up on the From the Margins website, so folks who want to give her a contact, you can go look for it over there as well. It will be on the Facebook page. All right, peace.